I was thinking something I read. In Bhakti Loka, I oftentimes refer to it by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was citing the differences between the devotees and the jnanis. He was saying the fundamental difference is about speaking about the jnanis. He was saying that the jnanis are not interested in Krishna's mercy. He said they think that by the strength of their knowledge, by the strength of their own austerities, we can become the Supreme. Even the Supreme, by the strength of his knowledge, became the Supreme. So if he could become the Supreme, then by the strength of knowledge, we also could become Supreme. And therefore, he says that in the mind of the jnanis, thought will never arise in their mind of how they want to be eternally engaged in service to the Supreme. It doesn't enter their mind. And because of that thought, they can never get Krishna's mercy. And therefore he says that because the jnanis are not interested in Krishna's mercy, they may take it for some time. I think a story I give in this connection, I remember the story that I think it was Bhavananda tells about how he was helping Prabhupada come across, right? Helping Prabhupada come across the ditch in Mayapur. And when he held out his hand, and Prabhupada took his hand and he helped him across, and then when he got to the other side, he pushed him away. And he was shocked. Why did Prabhupada do that? And he said, Prabhupada then said, this is what the impersonalists do, the jnanis. They say, oh yes, I need guru. But they have a higher goal they want to achieve. They want to become the Supreme. And therefore they think that after they've taken some help, then they push Guru away and say, I don't need you anymore. And because they don't want to become eternal servants. The desire to become eternal servants of Guru and Krishna, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, never does that thought enter their mind. And therefore, he says, the jnanis are non-devotees. Because the difference between the jnani and the devotee is the devotee, he is always dependent on Krishna's mercy. Eternally. He's always thinking that I can't make progress, I can't advance, I can't achieve perfection, not by my own strength. As the jnanis, they think by my own strength, by my knowledge. But the bhakta always thinks that without mercy, I'm nothing. Therefore, the bhakta always, he says, eternally, he's always thinking. Of course, you read Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you get the understanding that the bhakta also never thinks he has enough of Krishna's mercy. He never thinks he's qualified for Krishna's mercy. But still he's reading for it. He knows without it, he cannot achieve any advancement. He has no hope in spiritual life without mercy. So therefore he says that that is a fundamental difference between the bhakta and the jnani. Is that the bhakta is always dependent on mercy. And then elsewhere, Sri Bhakti Loka, he also explains the characteristics between the karmis, the jnanis, and the bhaktas. He says the karmis the jnanis and bhaktas, they all, they want some result. They want to achieve some result of by dint of their process of which they've undertaken. The karmis, they want some fruitive result. And therefore they perform some karma kanda to obtain some kind of fruitive result. The jnanis, they want also some result by their austerities. They want mukti, they want liberation. And the bhaktas also want result. He said the result the bhaktas want, they want to awaken Krishna's pleasure by their service. That is the bhaktas. He says that the bhakta, sometimes it is seen that the bhaktas, they cannot remain steady in the execution of their sadhana, and they may give it up because they're impatient. He says, therefore, patience in devotional service means, for the bhakta, patience for devotional service means that he always has complete faith that someday I will get Krishna's mercy. And what does he think his mercy is? Someday I will get Krishna's mercy is that I will get Krishna's pleasure. I will be able to awaken Krishna's pleasure. And patience means that I will go on serving Krishna, whether in this life, whether now, 10 years from now, whether 100 years from now, whether 1,000 births from now, I will go on serving Krishna, always expecting his mercy. I will never give up service to Krishna. This is patience. And he always expects that someday I'll get Krishna's mercy. Whether it's now, 10 years, 100 years, 100 births. But I am completely dependent on Krishna's mercy. And as today we're talking about Lord Nityananda and how he's the most merciful, he's so eager to give his mercy. Well, Narottam Das Thakur has told us, Arkabai Nitai Chanda Karuna Habe Samsara Basana Mari Kabai Tucha Habe. He says, when will I get Nityananda's mercy? When will that day be mine when I'll get Nityananda's mercy? When the desires for material enjoyment with my heart will become completely insignificant. That's mercy. That's the mercy that we actually have to pray for. And that's the mercy that Lord Nityananda is so eager to give, is to actually, he's very eager to do the groundwork and actually, because he's the original spiritual master, he's very eager to do the groundwork and help to us to get free of these attachments that are there within the heart. What is the next verse? Al kabe nitai kabe karuna vishaya vishaya chariya shuraham kabe hamas shuraham. Yes, he said when the day comes when there'll be no more material anxieties and material desires within my heart, when that day actually comes, he said, then I will actually become qualified to understand Radha and Krishna, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, and only then will my devotional service be successful. Only then. So Lord Nityananda's very kind, very merciful, that he is actually meant to give us the strength by which we can actually give up our material attachments. Prabhupada even quotes that verse, Nayamatma Balahanena Labya, Achat Pramatat Tapiso Bhapya Lingat, that the Supreme Lord can never be achieved without Bala. Lord Nityananda is Balaram, and he is the source of spiritual strength. Nayamatma Balahanena Labya, Achat Tapasapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapap spiritual strength by those who are wild and frivolous, and those whose austerities are inappropriate. The Supreme Lord can only be achieved by those who strive to achieve Him by the right means. And then He reveals Himself to them. Such persons enter into the spiritual world. So Lord Nityananda is meant to give us that strength so that we can actually become free from these attachments within the heart. And He's meant to help us to become free. That is how we should pray for His mercy. We should pray for His mercy that, please be merciful to me. Please enter within my heart and make me qualified so that one day I may be able to enter into the dancing party of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. By the mercy of Nityananda, he as a spiritual master, he actually gives his devotees, he gives them the qualification, and then he certifies them as qualified now to Srimati Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Actually explains that he certifies them and tells, okay, Radharani, now you can take him. You can take him now, he's qualified, no more material desires, then he can enter into a dance ring party of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Now you take him and train him up in his appropriate service. But without being freed from material desires, we can never understand pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nityananda on this very auspicious day for His mercy. If He gives His mercy, then so many examples have been told today of how Nityananda gave His mercy, and then He got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And then Yata Yata Gora Padara Vinde, to that degree that one gets the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and gets the opportunity to render service to Lord Chaitanya, to that degree he becomes qualified to understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. So Lord Nityananda, He is, as being described, so merciful. Even Mita Maharaj told that nice story about Shivananda Sena. Shivananda Sena, actually, when, as we were reading the other night, he told his wife, "You foolish woman, why are you lamenting for the inconvenience of Lord Nityananda that let all our sons die?" And he actually even prayed. He said, "I've received the greatest mercy. Mercy is I've got the opportunity. I've received the dust of Lord Nityananda's lotus feet. Now I'm giving the opportunity to render service to Him. This is His mercy." He even said that dharma, artha, kama, moksha, all my activities have all now become perfect. My family life has become perfect. My life has become perfect. All the fruits of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, they've all become perfect. I've achieved the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And therefore, Lord Nityananda acts in very strange ways. He gave His mercy by, as described, by chastising Shivananda Sena. Shivananda Sena completely took it, completely accepted it, and he became so pleased by Shivananda Sena, so pleased by his acceptance of his chastisement, acceptance of his mercy, that he took Shivananda Sena and he held him in his embrace. Held him in his embrace, so pleased by that attitude of eager for mercy. That's how a devotee thinks, to be eager for mercy. In whatever form it comes, we should have to be willing to accept it. Fortunately, this is sometimes something we oftentimes become deluded by. We're not able to recognize what is the mercy of the Lord and what is not the mercy of the Lord. But it is very auspicious when that mercy manifests in the form of hankering for mercy. That's the most auspicious form of mercy. There can be no more auspicious form than that constant hankering for mercy. And as we see, as Narada Muni demonstrated in his tour throughout heavenly planets, the Vaikunthas, and then also to Vrindavan, that he saw in each and every case, in every Vaishnava, that they never felt that they were proper recipients of mercy, and that they were always hankering for more mercy, and they were always seeing that more qualified devotees were there to give them mercy. And they always sent Narada Muni to those who were actual real recipients of mercy. And when they saw who were the greatest recipients of mercy, is when they were actually personally able to see the residents of Vrindavan, who were always simply absorbed and hankering for that mercy. So that's mercy. And I've experienced that, you know, here, that in my short time I've spent here, I've experienced a glimpse of the wonders of hankering. And because unless we hanker for something in the form of mercy from our guru, form of mercy from Lord Nityananda, form of mercy of the Vaishnavas, then because hankering is a symptom of the soul, we simply hanker for material sense gratification, because that is what material life is all about, simply hankering for some opportunity to become happy. But as Devamrita Maharaj very nicely described, that actually this is pure devotional service, means to give up such hankerings and to actually have it replaced with some genuine hankerings to serve Guru, to serve Krishna, and to please the Vaishnavas. Yeah. And beggars, become beggars for their mercy. And I think Madhavananda Prabhu for nicely expressing how wonderful it is to hanker for mercy. And I think my God brothers have come because I've been hankering for this event for a long time. Because for me, I don't know how to please Prabhupada, but I know if I please my God brothers, I have hope. And I've been hankering for this opportunity. And I thank all the devotees who've given me this opportunity, come here, and given me the prerogative to fulfill my hankering, that I can do something that will be pleasing to them. And in this way, I have hope that I can do something that's pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. And I also wanted to say that Madhavananda, you shouldn't feel bad about all the things that you've said in our presence. As I said in the very beginning, I ordered you to, and just so that you know also, there's another reason behind it. I thought I should be shameless and express the other reason behind it, was that I was always in anxiety that what will happen if the devotees find out that I went to Puri and so many devotees didn't know anything about it, and they didn't invite it, I didn't put it on my calendar, I didn't put it anywhere, I didn't want devotees to know about it, I kept it so secret. And one of the reasons why I felt that I wanted you to speak was so that I could just say, well, I didn't say anything to all the rest of the devotees who would be angry for not being invited. Because sometimes they start thinking, oh, I was left out, you know, and so I didn't do anything. I just simply...
They can blame me.
I didn't say anything the whole time. I just listened to Padmananda the whole time. So thank you. No, no, they'll say, well, well, we didn't. It's like, well, now we know, you know. I have to, shameless as I am, I'm confessing that I've been accepting the service from you the whole time.
All we did was listen to Madhavananda, and you made some songs that they could hear anywhere on the internet.
So, and I'd like to thank all the devotees who come and kept it quiet and allowed me to fulfill my hankering, which was to spend time with devotees, hearing and chanting with my God brothers, reading together, taking prasadam together, discussing together topics which are very relevant to our service to Prabhupada. And this is my word of gratitude unto everyone who has made this this yatra possible. I want to thank them and to beg their forgiveness for any shortcomings that I may have demonstrated. Well, not I may have, I know I have. But I just want you to know that it was a very wonderful experience for me and an opportunity for me to render some service. And I hanker for more mercy, and I hope that you will be very, very kind and give me opportunities in the future.